This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Theatre, film, TV, and more. Susie Rong reviews it all on Joy Drive.
Good afternoon, Susie Rong.
What is this about you buying me a $1,000 meal?
Well, I was actually going to ask you because you've been holidaying back in your home of Singapore recently, and it was the crab is called the Alaskan King Chili Crab Dish. $30 per 100 grams. It cost $1,000. Have you had that?
No. First of all, I'm vegetarian.
Oh, yes, that's right.
But also, Singapore does luxury really well. That's one of the pleasures of traveling in Singapore is to experience all that crazy stuff and the really, really expensive things if you have those means. On the other hand, if you want to have a really sort of modest holiday, it's also a really great location. I think that tourists must have, she didn't know what she was in for.
No, I hope the dish was good, though. I'm sure it would have been.
Have you ever had chili crab?
I've had crab. I don't think I've had this chili crab for $1,000. But she said at the end of it, she argued that she didn't have to pay the whole lot because there was a lot of leftovers.
Just the shells, maybe. Look, chili crab is an iconic dish. And I think in Sydney, there are a few places that you can find it. I don't know about Melbourne. It's delicious.
Well, I love crab, so maybe I'll have to try it one day. Now, Susie, today we're talking about a documentary that is on Stan. It's called Daniel Laidley, Two Tribes. Do you want to tell us what it's about?
That's right. Today, we're taking a look at a trans documentary, which isn't unusual for Tuesday chats on Joy Drive. But the film is also a sports documentary, which must be a first for us because that's usually a subject that I wouldn't touch with a 10-foot pole. The title is Daniel Laidley, Two Tribes, now streaming on Stan. And it is very much the point of the documentary, this tension between queerness and the hyper-straightness of the sporting world. Daniel was a star of the AFL, not only very successful as a footy player in the 1980s and 90s, but also as a coach for many years thereafter. The problem was that she had, during all that time, lived and worked in sports as a man, the gender she was assigned at birth. We all know how difficult and traumatic that experience is, but being a public figure only exacerbated everything, especially when she was outed unceremoniously by a tabloid newspaper in 2020. Her photos were leaked from the St Kilda police station, where she was held for drug possession and subsequently charged with one count of stalking. 3 years on, Danielle is now living in her authenticity, but the documentary charts the tumultuous journey she had to take and continues to take as she embraces this new life of an out, proud trans woman. I like that the film is deeply honest. It reveals a lot about the challenges faced by Danielle, reaching all the way back from when she was a child in the 1970s, contextualizing this 50-something year journey into a valuable record of transness in this particularly crucial time today of social change for trans people. Its intersections with the sporting world are unique, and there is a lot to unpack about the privilege she possessed for many years, passing as a straight white man in the AFL. All the glory from being a sporting hero seems ultimately to be the very element that has caused so much devastation. Being a married person with children as well adds to the complexity of Danielle's struggles to settle in her authenticity. Two Tribes is on the surface conventional and predictable, but it really contains so much that just begs to be deciphered and analyzed, and I'm sure Warren has some thoughts about mateship, about parenthood, about drug abuse, all those things. Where do we begin,
You know what, Susie, I was thinking about it today, and honestly, I don't know where to start. I mean, what an honest and raw and and brave documentary. I think Danielle is a very brave woman, and to have to hide yourself. I mean, we all know what it's like to hide yourself, but to have to hide yourself in a culture like AFL football must have been so draining and just taken such a toll. And you can see that in Danielle's life now, and it just comes across so authentic in the documentary. I absolutely loved it, but Susie, there's so much to talk about. I don't know where to start, because football for me, I don't know, anyone who can, and I know there's people listening who love AFL, but, you know, my personal thing is I find AFL, the whole football thing, was such a traumatic experience in high school that I couldn't get away from it. And I don't support it now, and I can't even watch it. And when we have our sports update here on Joy Drive, you know, I joke with Malcolm, who comes in and loves it. And I say, you know what, is it going to be over soon? I can't wait, because it was just so toxic. And to see what Danielle has gone through in that environment, I mean, what a brave woman, seriously, because I couldn't do it. I couldn't put up with that mateship and that culture.
That's the nature of these kind of spaces, isn't it? On one hand, it really rewards you really, really richly if you fit right into its program. Mm. And on the other hand, if you don't, the punishment is severe. So on one hand, Danielle had benefited from these rewards that she got from being really good at her job, but at the same time, she knew the threat that was awaiting her if she was to come out and be her true self. So I think this documentary was important, you know, I mean, not just documenting the trans experience and, you know, how you're assigned at birth one gender, and then you have to sort of find your way to live authentically, but also the thing about Australian culture and sporting culture and how central it is to our values and how people take certain things seriously in a really bad way, if I'm saying that right, you know, and just kind of sort of seeing her being basically slowly murdered by this system of compliance, this system of what's that word, of being just really obedient, I suppose. And then, and you know, you said she was brave, you know, I guess being out in trans is always brave, but you know, you can't miss the fact that she was outed forcibly. She was never ready to come out. She was never ready to come out to anyone, much you know, less the public, but she was forced into that position, and that is never a right thing to do for anyone to do, but it's worked out well for her.
It has.
And we can only be happy for her.
And I think the other thing is too, she says that, and I find this rather ironic, that even though the whole football culture was so matey and homophobic and toxic, it's ironic that it was the one thing that she says saved her as well. I thought that was really, really interesting. The whole police thing, Susie, I don't know where to start with this. It's hard because I know the LLOs do a great job trying to mend the relationship with the community, but when you hear what happened to Danielle Laidley, it just blows that trust away completely. And it's, you know, those of us who are a bit older, of course, probably have a bit of a lack of trust already from what we've seen them be like with the community. You know, you look at the Tasty raids and all these things that have happened. And when you see things like this happen, it just makes me think, wow, it only takes a few silly people in there to just blow that relationship and that trust. And you can see that that's what's happened here.
Yeah. You know, it's an interesting thing. When that part came out, I thought, oh, that is how much white people, especially white men, trust the police, because it's a system that serves them the best, you know? Mm. Like, if you are, you know, if you're telling this story to a black or a woman of color, who a trans woman of color, you know, we kind of never really had that sort of trust. So we never kind of expect the policemen to do the best thing for our interests. But, you know, what they did was obviously wrong. And, you know, that was a really great bit where they revealed, I guess from court documents, the private WhatsApp group, I think, chats that these sort of police people were having within themselves, the really, really transphobic, really, really homophobic and misogynist language that they were using to describe someone that was being held custody. That was an eye opener even for me. I mean, like, it doesn't surprise me, but to see those words actually on the screen is brutal.
Oh, absolutely. And I was going to ask you about that, because one of the things that came across in there was, you know, Danielle's talking about, you know, going out during her time of being in the AFL and being able to be herself when she goes out to a particular club here in Melbourne and seeing other transgender women there. And it gave her an opportunity to sort of ask questions and to have conversations and learn about it at a time when there was no internet and no resources and all these sorts of things. I was going to ask you, Susie, how important was peer support to you?
You know, that's a really interesting question, because my peer support came through more of like gay and lesbians, especially when I moved to Sydney, you know. I never really experienced a trans community. And also at that time, I was so far in the closet that I thought I was a gay man myself. And because it was so much easier being a gay man than ever even contemplating living as a woman, you know, it was so like such a huge impossibility that it became like, oh, right, at least I could be a gay man and I would have a community. And there's a place called Sydney, when I was living in Singapore, there's this place called Sydney that is very welcoming of gay and lesbian people. So I guess I did find my community there. And you know, that the thing is, you can see that Danielle, even though she was Australian, because she was a woman who loved other women, right? So not only did she pass successfully as a man, she was someone who was sexually attracted to women. So that forces you deep, deep, deep in the closet, right? Just the same case with Caitlyn Jenner, you know, because I think that the dimension of being really successful in a very masculine space and also being someone who's attracted to women just makes it completely impossible. But, you know, there was no way that I was going to be passing off as a hetero sort of man, because, you know, I'm just completely presenting all the time. And also, I was never interested sexually in women. So it was almost like I didn't even have that sort of space to hide from. So I guess I hid myself in gay spaces.
Susie, one of the things that I found quite touching was, I think Danielle says in the movie that, you know, being yourself is high risk. And how sad, though, when we think about it, that being in yourself, but, you know, just wanting to be yourself comes with a huge level of risk. And we saw that play out in the documentary. We're talking about Danielle Laidley, Two Tribes, which is streaming on Stan at the moment. And, you know, it got to a point where it was easier for her to say to her partner that the lipstick was from cheating rather than actually saying, you know, it was me. And that's how much she had to hide herself.
Yeah, it's a huge risk. But I think the one thing I was uncomfortable with the documentary was that it didn't kind of push her very much in terms of talking about the privilege that she hid behind, that she was, you know, she was living. Because, you know, for you and I, we wouldn't have that sort of opportunity to sort of pretend to be straight people in any way. And because she was able to hide behind a straight marriage and be rewarded heavily, you know, like society rewards people who can have, you know, three kids with a wife, and certainly they reward you very, very well if you are good at sport. So it was hard for her to live authentically, be her real self, but also she was rewarded to lie. She was rewarded to live a lie, which was bad for her, but also, you know, from a more community perspective, I would say that people like this, you know, like, we always have these discussions about outing people, right? You know, I do feel resentful when people who are very powerful and very rich, and we know them to be gay and lesbian and trans, and they're hiding. I cannot help but feel that resentment. And, you know, I don't wish for them to come out and then harm themselves. That's not good. But I would like to see them own to the fact that, you know, oh, it's because I have so much to lose.
Yeah, it's I wonder what impact the documentary is having on, you know, other sports people, particularly, you know, who may be hiding themselves. I wonder if they saw it, whether they think, oh, there's no way I'll ever come out, if that's the sort of reaction that you get.
I have a friend who is in the process of coming out, and they were They are hugely into sports. They are, like, you know, big into sport, not a celebrity in any sense, but really, like, sport defines their personhood. And they're going through this right now. And then I sent the documentary to them, this morning when I saw it, because it reminded me so much of them. And it's interesting, like, it's not just public figures, but also people who sort of exist and thrive in these sporting spaces that are probably more binary than anywhere else, because you have to make all your decisions based on that binary. Are you competing in the men's category? Are you competing in the women's category, right? So they do have an extra dimension of challenges that I don't sort of, doesn't affect me, because I don't exist in those spaces. So I do understand that those are extra dimensions there for them.
Susie, can you kick a football?
I don't have a joke. I can't kick anything. You know, the closest thing I ever did to sport was, like, you know, when, back in the day when you go aerobics at the gym.
Oh, yes.
I thought I was a sports person because I was really good at aerobics.
Do you know, I used to take aerobics classes in the, I think it was it would have been the early 90s. How's that?
Did you have really short shorts on?
Yes.
Good for you.
I did. I was at uni. Definitely did. A couple of other points I just want to quickly make about the documentary, Danielle Laidley, Two Tribes, which is on Stan at the moment, is I loved her partner. And she makes a...
Oh, she's fantastic. Oh, Donna.
Donna is amazing. And it's, you know, and I love the way Donna just says, you know what, I've always loved this person. And I think we can learn a lot from this. She says, I don't understand what's so hard. You just love the person. It doesn't matter if they change or whoever they are, they're still the same person, and I love them. And I thought that was absolutely beautiful.
I loved watching Danielle come out and not changing her face. Mm. And I think that is so much due to Donna's influence, because I think a lot of trans women who don't have enough women friends and who don't have enough feminist friends are not taught to love themselves as they are, as any woman does. Every woman in this climate has to learn that they are simply perfect the way they are, even though society and capitalism tells them there's always something to improve. But all, if you know enough women, you know that we all go on this journey of self-acceptance. And I can see how Donna rubs off on her. And I'm glad to see that Danielle hasn't succumbed to, you know, those pressures. And when you're new to womanhood, you don't have the capacity to sort of combat the pressures. And you see a lot of trans women just submitting to those pressures and doing a million things to their faces and bodies that I feel really sorry for.
Susie, well said, and I agree with you. What are we talking about next week?
Next week, we're looking at Cassandra, a biopic on Amazon Prime Video about the Liberace of Mexican wrestling. Ooh. That's Cassandra on Amazon Prime Video, and that's when I see you next Tuesday.
Go off and kick the footy. Catch you next Tuesday.
Feeling good on Joy Drive.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.